Hi, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you like the doctrines of grace, as heard on Abounding Grace Radio, we do invite you to join us for worship at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. The address is 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. And now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio, and we are always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You know, on these Friday sessions of Abounding Grace, we love to interact with contemporary Christian issues, church life, doctrinal issues, and we are continuing today our discussion on the theology of worship. And I have Pastor Mike Brown here with me, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And I want to begin today, Mike, by interacting with something that John Calvin said years ago. And, you know, the thing that Calvin said was the most important thing to reform in the days of the Reformation. Of all things, he said, it is worship. And, you know, I believe that's just as true today as back then. This is the thing that needs the most reformation today. This is what we need to be thinking a lot about today, of what worship is. Calvin said this: I know how difficult it is to persuade the world that God disapproves of all modes of worship not expressly sanctioned by his word. The opposite persuasion which cleaves to them, being seated, as it were, in their very bones and marrow, is that whatever they do has in itself a sufficient sanction, provided it exhibits some kind of zeal for the honor of God. But since God not only regards as fruitless, but also plainly abominates whatever we undertake from zeal to his worship, if at variance with his command, what do we gain by a contrary course? The words of God are clear and distinct. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, Mike, that's Romans 10, where Romans 10 says that the Jews had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Isn't that just the case today for worship? People are sincere, but it's not according to what the Lord has spoken in his word.
Well, that's correct. As Calvin also said, the human heart is an idol factory. And we can see from Scripture, going all the way back to the fall, really, how we want to worship God in ways that we design. We think of Nadab and Abihu and how they put strange fire and approached the Lord as priests in a way that he had not commanded. And we know the sad outcome of them. God caused fire to come down and consumed them, which is really the language, it seems, that the writer to the Hebrews is picking up on when he addresses us in the new covenant, those who are in Jesus Christ, those who are not under the Mosaic covenant anymore, when he says, now you worship God with acceptable worship to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So it's very important that we approach God in the way that he has commanded.
You know, this raises a really important point, because I can already hear the objection to that statement, and it's a common one. It's one we need to engage, but you know, we tend to look at the Old Testament as full of laws and rules and very stringent commands about worship. But then we think today, Mike, that when we come to the New Testament, it's a free-for-all, that we can do whatever we want, whatever our hearts, since we're now in the Spirit, we don't worship, you know, on this mountain or that mountain, it's always quoted, that we have complete liberty in worship. And, you know, maybe this is a way to kind of engage that, but we wouldn't just do that anywhere. I played college ball, and, you know, my coach was always really concerned about recruiting. Can you imagine if he, trying to get the 7-footer into the program, said, hey, you can come onto the program. We're not going to speak to you about what you need to do. we're going to let you dictate to us how you want to play the game. We're going to let you dictate, you know, how practices are going to be run. You no longer have the game of basketball. And I think that might be helpful to engage this. Has God given us a free-for-all, or has God specifically commanded us? And why are those commands so important? I mean, that's where we want to go with this today.
That's a great question to bring up. And the reason why those commands are so important is because God knows what it is we need. And this is how Protestants have understood the second commandment. When we think of the Ten Commandments, for example, the Heidelberg Catechism, okay, written in 1563, it asks, what is God's will for us in the second commandment? Okay, what is God's will for us now in the new covenant in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Now, the reason we're bringing this stuff up, Chris, is not because you and I are, a couple cranky guys that want everyone to follow rules, and we got to have rules, and we don't want anyone to be happy in worship. That's not the case at all. You know, we love to laugh. We love to express joy to the Lord as well in the worship service. But I think what we're both saying here is that we need to be very cautious when we worship the Lord, as we see how God has revealed himself in Scripture, because he is the Creator. He is holy. And that means that he regulates worship. He's the one who says in his word how we are to worship, and he sets that forth. So when we see the New Covenant Church birthed there at Pentecost, we see how they worshiped. What is it that they did? After Peter stands up and he preaches that great redemptive historical sermon about how Jesus of Nazareth is risen from the dead and is the promised Christ, and then people believed on him and they were baptized into the church, we read there in Acts 2:42 how they continued steadfastly in apostolic doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, which is basically New Testament code for the sacraments, and the prayers. So God sets forth his word, the preaching of his word, apostolic doctrine, which is in the preaching every week of Scripture, him telling us what we need and what we need to grow in, that our minds are being filled with the knowledge of the Lord, that our hearts are having the word indwell in them, Christ being formed in us, the sacraments, which is a visible confirmation of God's promise, a visible sign attesting to what he has done. And then we respond to him in prayer and song, which is another form of prayer. So there's this great conversation that happens in the worship service. God speaking to us in word and sacrament, us responding to him in prayer and song.
I want to respond to a couple things there, Mike. I think this is really helpful, and especially because, you know, why do we need God to regulate worship for us? It's a really important question because, as the Reformers understood, our hearts are idol factories. We are constantly creating idols. We're constantly going in a direction that creates things that offend God. And we don't want to do that. And so, you know, I think it's really important, as you said, Mike, you know, what we do is the greatest freedom. It is the greatest freedom to worship God as he has outlined for us in his word. Why? Why do we want to do that? Well, I want you to think about this for a minute. When Jesus came upon the religious community of his day, what were the religious leaders doing? They were actually imposing upon the people their own superimposed ideas and their superimposed laws over the Bible. And of course, that's where we get into legalism. So, you know, what some people think of legalism isn't legalism. Legalism here was they were superimposing their rules over the Bible and binding men's consciences to honor those things. Well, that's what happened in Matthew 15. Remember, they criticized Jesus' disciples and the tradition, right? Because what? They did not wash their hands when they ate bread. So there, the religious leaders were imposing things upon them. And what did Jesus say? These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So here's the issue. The leaders were imposing things upon the people in worship that God had not commanded. And that's where everything ran amok. So we're concerned today when the leaders are imposing upon the people their own ideas of how to approach God, their own rules, their own dramas, their own productions, and they're actually binding the consciences of the simple when God has given us a very simple, clear way forward in how to worship Him. It's a really important point, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest reasons it's so important is because God wants to nourish us in the worship service. Again, this isn't merely about, well, we got to follow rules now. Obviously, it's very important to follow God's rules, and bad things happen to people when they don't. But the thing we have to see overall is that God has determined a way to reveal Himself to us and to nourish our souls. And we need to follow that. Anything short of that, any man-made regulation or man-made way of worshiping God is really junk food for the soul. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 55. He says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David." You know, what we see there is God telling us how He wants to feed and nourish our souls. Just as we need to eat and be nourished and fed for the body, well, we also need it for the soul. And what He has designed is His word and His sacrament that is so rich.
Right. And just to kind of summarize here so far, you know, this is a really important point. I think today, Mike, people equate legalism with obedience. And that's not legalism. Honoring God's commands out of gratitude because we're so overwhelmed by the grace that He's given to us is our reasonable service. But legalism is imposing man-made commands upon us that God has not commanded, and then binding the consciences of men in that. So it's really important to say that. And that's why what Mike just touched on is really important. God is protecting us in worship. Mm-hmm. You know, God is protecting us. You know, Psalm 50 talks about, you know, "You who draw near to me, guard your ways, lest I tear you in pieces." And the point is that when we trample His holiness and don't listen, it's a danger zone. Worship is a danger zone. And I think we forget that today. You know, we see worship as a playground. We see worship as a carnival, and that's not what it is. And, you know, Colossians warned about that. New Testament passage, Colossians 2, he talks about worship. He talks about the Colossian church getting into all sorts of weird angel worship and strange stuff and going back to the Old Testament laws and sacrificial system, all that stuff they were imposing upon them. And you know what Paul says there? "These things have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." That's a really powerful verse, because he's saying there is self-imposed worship. And you see what we're trying to say today on Abounding Grace is God loves His people so much. As He calls them and summons them into His presence, He's protecting them and guiding them and leading them, as Mike said, so that we would be nourished on the good words of faith and the doctrine which we've carefully followed, and be fed with His means to strengthen our faith.
Right, and what is it that strengthens us but Jesus Christ, the bread of life? And so really the question we have to ask is, are we hearing Christ in the worship service? Is everything that we receive from the Lord, the word of Christ? You know, Colossians goes on to say, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So I think it'd be helpful maybe for our listeners, you know, if you take an inventory of everything in the worship service on Sunday, it should either be God's word to us or our response, our word back to God. You know, so in the worship service, when the law is read, that's God's word to us. When we sing, that's our word to God, which also teaches and admonishes one another with the word of Christ. But primarily, there's this vertical conversation going up and down because God is reaching down through these means and feeding his sheep. What did Jesus say? Remember in John 21, when he commissioned Peter and the disciples, he said, "Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs, feed my lambs, feed them." That's what God does every Lord's Day through his word. We're being nourished and fed on the things that he gives us, which is why the Protestant Reformation often called the worship service a divine service. In other words, God is the one who actually serves. He's the one who reaches down, just as he did when he set aside his garments there in the upper room and girded himself and stooped down and washed the feet of the disciples. He served them. Well, God actually serves his people on the Lord's Day, but he does it with the things that he knows we need, just as a parent feeds his children or her children the things that she knows as a mother that those kids need. Well, so does God do it as our Heavenly Father, and he gives us his word and his sacrament.
Yeah, what a wonderful explanation. And you know, I think you're really explaining something for us, Mike, that's important. You know, we tend to view Old Testament worship, you know, there they were, if you think about Old Testament worship, they were kept out by veils and a tabernacle and a temple. You know, we come to New Testament worship, and what we don't really think about is that we are really now in the face of God. We're right before his face. This is why Hebrews is telling us we now have boldness and access. We come with boldness into the most holy place. So, you know, can you imagine somebody coming into the most holy place in the Old Testament, barging in there? What would have happened? and here now, we have this great privilege to come right before the face of God. And as Mike just described, what's happening? Well, God is washing us. God is cleansing us by his word. We are meeting with God. And maybe that's the important thing today that just has to be recovered is a sense that what worship is a divine service, as Mike said, where we're actually meeting with God himself. I think everyone tends to think today that the real stuff happens out there. And we've lost any sort of sense that no, we're coming before the face of God, and the grace, the means of grace that we receive is actually being given and received in corporate worship when God's people gather on Sunday. I think it's sad that's lost today, you know?
Yeah, and this is also why we need to remember to follow his commandments. You know, Jesus Christ, of course, fulfilled all the commandments, as we know, Chris, and he fulfilled everything in the Mosaic Law, fulfilled all 10 commandments through his act of obedience. But the fact that he fulfilled those commandments doesn't give us the right now to break those commandments. You know, the fact that he fulfilled the 6th commandment doesn't give you and me the right to go out and murder people. And the same is with regard to the 2nd commandment. Just because Christ fulfilled that in his obedience and his death doesn't mean that we get to worship God any old way we please, but rather we need to follow what Scripture says. And this, as you've pointed out, keeps us safe. It's also what feeds us, what nourishes us, and blesses us. But then I guess one of the questions that we might have to tackle then, if these elements are clear from something like Acts 2:42, we worship God by his word to us in the preaching, in baptism, the Lord's Supper, which maybe we can talk about in future shows, and then we respond in prayer and, you know, and the common fellowship that we have together as his people. Well, what about all the other things that go on in worship? You know, if we're saying that we should only worship God in the way that he has commanded, I guess, Chris, I could see a listener maybe thinking right now, what about the time? You know, so you guys worship at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings and 6 p.m. in the evening. Where do you find that command in Scripture?
Right, and there's always been an important distinction that has been made between what we call the elements of worship and the circumstances of worship. And Mike has outlined already those elements that we can't tamper with, that the Lord has put in place to protect us and to bless us and to worship Him according to His Word. And so that's why in worship, the preaching of the Word is central. We never tamper with that. That has to be the central place given. You have certain things that the Lord has commanded as the elements of worship in prayer and in offering up thanksgiving offerings and these sort of things. But Mike, when we talk about, you know, the circumstances of worship, obviously what time we meet, what the pew should look like, I don't know. You got a whole bunch of these sort of issues that come down to circumstances. And, you know, the way that we decide that, God, this is why God has given elders. Mm-hmm. This is why God has given church leaders so that we would be guided and that we would prayerfully seek the Lord's wisdom and that we would exercise wisdom and prudence in how we conduct ourselves in the church of God in terms of the circumstances of worship. Mm-hmm. And so it is an important distinction today because we're not micromanaging everything here in a unprofitable kind of way, but the Lord has given us freedom in terms of the circumstances to use godly wisdom and biblical discretion.
Right. Yeah. Another way maybe we can think about elements and circumstances is that the elements are the what of worship, what we must do. And that must be strictly word, sacrament, prayer, and praise. Everything in the worship service, the benediction is God's word to us. The creed that we confess is our prayer to God. The reading of the law is God's word to us. The declaration of pardon is God's word to us. The sermon is God's word to us. The Lord's Supper is God's word to us. The singing is our response to God. Prayer of confession, our response to God. So back and forth, we see this. But then with regard to the circumstances, as you said, we need to be led. We need to operate there on a continuum of wisdom. So really, we think of maybe a horizontal line of less wise moving to more wise, and everything that is circumstantial, everything that is not the what of worship, but rather the when, the how, those things operate on that continuum of wisdom. So what time should we meet? Well, there's no express command. We know that we have to meet on the Lord's Day. That's quite clear and easy to show from Scripture. Should we meet at 9:30 a.m.? Well, the elders have decided for our culture and our point in time that's a wise move. Well, why not meet at daybreak as they did in Geneva? For us in California, that's not going to be so wise. You know, back then it was easier. Everybody got up at the sound of the rooster and the rising of the sun, and you walked over to church. So these are circumstantial things. You know, how should the minister dress? Should he come out in shorts and flip-flops? There would be some people who say, yeah, that's fine because he's showing that he's one of the people. Well, is that really wise? Because the minister's dress actually sets a tone for the worship service. If he comes out in a t-shirt and shorts or a Hawaiian shirt, I like to think of it as seeing that kind of dress from a judge in a courtroom. Would you appreciate a judge coming out in a Hawaiian shirt? Would he really set a tone of reverence there? But these are circumstantial things. It's a continuum of wisdom. And that's why we have elders, as you pointed out. They're the ones ultimately that make the call on the circumstantial issues.
Now, just to close this out today, you know, when we do tamper, though, with the elements, it is a very, very sad thing that happens. You know, I've seen it where the whole, if you were to draw two categories, us and God, and that dialogue is going back and forth. And what tends to happen today is that, you know, we enter into worship and there's no sense that we're meeting with God because the elements of worship have been laid aside. Everything is focused on what man wants. And it's sad. If you were to diagram it today, what you would see is that people have tried to remove God himself from worship. And so that's the importance of this distinction. We never want to tamper with the elements because they're put in place not only to protect us, but to make sure that the Lord himself is central. The Lord himself is, as Mike referenced in John 13, washing and tending to us. Now, Peter struggled with that. Peter said, "You'll never wash me." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, Peter, you have no part with me." That's what we need. And that's what happens every time in worship. Well, we hope today the programs on Abounding Grace have been a blessing to you. And if you would like to learn more about who we are and what we believe and find the churches that represent here, the Escondido United Reformed Church and Christ United Reformed Church, you can go to the website at agradio.org, and all that is put there for you. So grateful you've tuned in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California. If you like what you hear on Abounding Grace and you want to worship in a church where the person and work of Jesus Christ is central to the message, I invite you to visit one of our worship services every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information about Christ United Reformed Church, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.